we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast. Today, my name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are so thankful to be on the air here on WMIE 91.5 FM and WWBC 1510 AM as a rebroadcast at 10:30 this morning. So thank you for making us part of your day as we look to the Word of God that is settled forever in heaven and on earth. I'm so thankful that it is not changing. It's not up for amendment. It's not up for vote for political opinion or anything like that. It is just simply the Word of God, who is perfect in all that he does, right in all that he does, holy in all that he does, worthy in everything that he does. And as we are on our journey towards Easter here, talking about sowing and reaping, we are looking forward to a harvest of souls in this community. So thank you out there to every pastor that is preaching the Word of God, every church that is preaching the Word of God, and doing everything that you can to reach this community with the love of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's Word. Thank you for partnering with the rest of the body of Christ, and most of all, our King, our Lord, our Savior, and reaching the people that he died to save. So we are going to be in the Word of God today. We're in Jeremiah is where we're going to begin, and then we're going to go to the book of Isaiah. We spent so much time on Isaiah last year, but you know, we continue to find Isaiah coming up in all of these topics. We are talking about either sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit out of Galatians chapter 6, and we had, are encouraged and admonished to sow to the Spirit. And we do not have to be deceived. God will not be mocked. We will reap a harvest if we do not faint. So I encourage you to sow the right type of seed, sow God's way, not man's way, and you and I can expect to see a harvest of great things. We're going to be in Jeremiah, the fourth chapter, to begin with today. Jeremiah, the fourth chapter, let's begin reading in verse number 1. If you will join us there, it says, "If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me, and if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved, and you shall swear the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings." We're going to talk about several steps in the process that leads up to sowing. Sowing is not the first step in the process. The plan to sow may be the first step, but there are several intermediary acts that need to take place if you and I are going to see the harvest that we want. Now, in my lawn, I constantly struggle with this plant that continues to pop up in various spots of my yard. And the reason that I struggle with that is because the plant that those seeds came from, they came from my a neighbor's yard, and that plant has been gone for a long, long time. It's been gone for years, but it is a plant that grows very well in the soil type in our neighborhood, and so I'm going around and uprooting plants, even though the progenitor of those seeds has been removed from the landscape for quite some time. So you can see some seeds that go, but a lot of times they're going to grow in places that you don't necessarily want them to grow. They're going to be outliers. You know, not where you wanted them strategically planted. Someone told me that a weed is any unwanted plant. So, you know, we look at some things and call them weeds. You know, one of the grass styles that is predominant here in Florida is a type of grass that you would never consider planting in Chicago. You would never consider planting that in Oklahoma or Texas, places that I've lived. It is just not the type of grass that you would plant there. But here it is considered to be one of the premier landscape lawns in this area. So today we're going to look at some of these steps in the process. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 4 here, as well as Isaiah. And it says that in verse number 3 that we are to break up our fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Break up our fallow ground. Now, when I was looking up this, I learned something in the process, because I thought that fallow was probably just another word for, you know, the calloused land or the dried up land, the crusty land, the places that are not very receptive to the seed. But what I actually learned, and some of you are going to already know this, and you're going to say, how can he not know that after all of these years? But you know what? It's not when you get to know something. It's the fact that you do get to know something. And so this is my destination. This is when I learned it. Now I'm going to pass it along. And for you, this is going to be revelation. And for others, it's going to be old hat. But fallow does not mean that you are just breaking up the soil. It means that you are plowing the soil with the purpose of restoring fertility to the soil and improving the quality of the soil. You are making sure that the soil that you are getting ready to sow into is healthy and nutritious. It is fertile soil that is going to have the right chemical composition to it, so that when you do sow your seed, you are going to have a tremendous harvest. And so today I want to encourage you. How long has it been since you looked at the soil of your heart and of your life and analyzed it to see whether or not it was would be classified as nutritious and fertile soil for the Word of God to be sown into? A lot of times when people come into church, they're coming in exhausted from the week. They're coming in with fresh problems that have just come up. Joyce Meyer tells the story about how when her family was first getting into church and they were growing in their faith, that on the way to church, the family would be fussing and fighting. They would be late. Everybody was running late. It tends to happen in families. And, you know, I was late so much growing up that I knee-jerked reaction the opposite direction, to where now I am exponentially early. You know, it just really helps me I would much rather have that margin than that pressure and the stress of running close to the deadline. So she talks about how they would be fussing and fighting. They'd be pulling into the parking lot, and then everybody would put on their smiling faces and go in, and they weren't ready to receive the Word of God because of all of the distractions, the strife and the discord that were going on before they ever got to the house of God. And so one of the reasons for praise and worship is because God is worthy. First of all, that's the premier reason. He is worthy to be praised. It doesn't matter how you feel. A lot of times the devil will come in and say, well, don't you feel like a hypocrite because you are praising him and you don't really feel like praising him? I don't feel like a hypocrite for praising God ever, because he is worthy to be praised at all times and in all circumstances. In spite of what you may feel, I may feel, anybody may feel, God's worthy to be praised, and we need to give him what he is due. And everybody said amen. One of the other reasons is it prepares us to enter into the throne room. It says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So the high priest, before he would go in and make atonement, he would prepare himself, lest when he went in there, his own sin led to his own undoing. And so you and I, we need to break up the fallow ground of our own lives so that the rain can get to it, the nutrients can get to it, that which is sunken into the soil comes back up, and so that it is not just one layer of the soil that is nutritious, that it's the whole layer of the soil, all of the layers of the soil. And so I want to encourage you today to break up that fallow ground. And then it says this, do not sow among thorns. Do not sow among thorns. We'll talk about a contaminated landscape a little bit later in our series here of, as we gain understanding of sowing and reaping. But you want to make sure that you extricate and remove things that are going to try to choke out the very word of God. I was told one time by a person that the purpose for them being at church was to oppose the pastor. And it's like, you would have to show me verse and chapter in order for me to get to anywhere close to believing that is a godly assignment. I can see that as an ungodly assignment, but I can't see that as a godly assignment. You know, because the body of Christ is not supposed to be fighting one another. We're supposed to be fighting principalities and powers. We spend so much of our time in strife and contention and discord, fighting amongst ourselves, that we don't really gain the ground. We don't see the harvest that we want to see. Well, there are many things in your life that are thorns that prick you when you touch them. There are things that are intent on choking out the very life of God that is meant to bring the fruit of the Spirit in your life and my life. Okay? So they might be different for you than they are for me. Some people, it might be too many items on the agenda. For others, it might be too few items on the agenda. You may have so much free time on your hand that you are complacent and lackadaisical in your approach to life, and it chokes out what could be a very productive season of your life. My wife is I can't keep up the pace that she keeps up with, and she deals with a lot of physical challenges that most people don't deal with. When we first came to Florida, that was not the case. We came, we only had one child at the time, and we only had one car, and we only had one income, and that was mine. And so we couldn't afford daycare and all of that sort of stuff. And so she would stay at home with our son. And, you know what, that was a pretty still time in her life, a quiet time in her life. Raising children is not boring, but at that point in time, he would still be taking naps and all of that sort of stuff. And there was a lot of quiet time. And so she was a little on the bored side at times. And I told her this, I said, you need to enjoy this season because seasons have a tendency to change. And there's going to be a time when you look back on this particular season and you are going to really appreciate that season. There have been times when I have been so busy that Well, let me just describe one of them to you. I went to work one day. This was about a year and a half after we moved to Florida. Is that right? Yeah. About a year and a half after we moved to Florida, I went to work one day and I found out that the company who had moved us here, was going out of business. We were losing our lease. And, so they told us the strategy was to keep, the stores that were the most productive open as long as possible. And some of the stores they would be closing a little bit earlier. And so I challenged my staff. I said, our objective here is to be one of the last stores open. It was an objective that we accomplished because we completely altered the way that we did business. We only had about a handful of employees. And when you advertise that you've got a going out of business sale and everything is 50% off, everybody wants to be there for the best selection. And so we had to adjust. I had to work extra long hours. We had stock people that ended up being salespeople, and we radically changed everything that we did, but we were extremely, extremely busy. There were actually people in the department store who worked in other departments that actually came over to help us any way that they could because we were just so overwhelmed with the amount of customers. It was a very busy season. I was not only managing one store, I was managing two stores at that particular time because of some health issues with another manager. And so we were quite busy at that point in time. After the company had gone out of business, about three weeks, I was absolutely ready to go to work. That busy season had given way to a much slower season. And I, first of all, I needed to go to work to feed my family. But we saw tremendous favor and blessing from God. Whatever it is that's choking out things in your life, uproot it, get it out, whether it is too much time on watching the television, whether it's too much streaming time, whether it's too much addiction to items on your phone, be it social media or other apps that are out there, whatever it might be, don't let anything threaten the harvest of the seeds that God wants to sow in your life. Get rid of the thorns so that you can prepare the soil so that you can have an abundant harvest. If you turn over to Isaiah, which is back to your left, Isaiah, the 28th chapter, we're going to read a couple of verses there. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 24 and, well, verse 23, 24, 25, and 26, 27. Oh, all the way to the end of the chapter. Here we go. Verse number 23. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods? When he has leveled its surface, does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat in rows, the barley in the appointed place, and the spelt in its place? For he instructs him in right judgment, his God teaches him. For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin, but the black cumin is beaten out with a stick and the cumin with a rod. Bread flour must be ground, therefore he does not thresh it forever, break it with his cartwheel or crush it with his horsemen. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. God is the most expert agriculture expert that there's ever been. He is thoroughly aware of what needs to be done, not just in the sowing, but in the processing, the harvesting, and the utilization of the items that are produced. In verse number 25, it says, you've got to level the field before you sow. You got to level it. You got to come in there and you've got to not only get the ground broken up, but then you've got to smooth it out, not compact it, but you make sure that it is very level. I was in conversation with some people, and this particular family was from Kentucky, and as they were as we were discussing the crops that are planted up there, they described that it was a source of pride to see how straight the rows that they could get. It says here in verse number 25, when he has leveled its surface, does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat in rows, the barley in its appointed place? And so they would take great measures to make sure that everything was as easy to harvest as it could possibly be. So they would not only level the field, but they would sow their seed in a very structured manner. They would sow one crop in one place, the spelt in another place, the wheat in another place, the barley in another place. They would make sure that the soil and the seed were a good fit together. There are a lot of different churches in Brevard County. Okay? And a long time ago, I realized that Merit Assembly of God wasn't going to be the perfect fit for everybody. What I set out to do was say, God, I want you to draw people to Merit Assembly of God, that this is going to be a good fit for them. That the soil of the Word of God that is sown here and the soil of their hearts, the seed and the soil, will be a good fit together. And through the years, we have gone from six people plus our family to last year we had about 140 different people that came through and attended with a great deal of frequency Merit Assembly of God. They never all came at one point in time. If you come to Merit Assembly of God on a Sunday, you will see that we probably average between 50 or 60. This last week we had a number of regulars that were out, but we had a number of visitors that were there. And so we were right in that range. That's not as large as we would like to be. I'd like to think that there's more people that God has for a structured fit in Merit Assembly of God to help us with the harvest. But, you know, He's the Lord of the harvest, and so we continue to try and be faithful with what we have so that He will see fit to entrust us with even more. By the way, before the radio program, we only had about 77 different adherents, and now we're up to about 140, and so we're very thankful for that. You got to make sure. See, God chose the time and the place for you to live, and He should be the one that determines the fit of where you are. Too many people make their church decisions on all of the wrong factors. They don't make it upon the Word. They don't make it upon where they can serve. They don't necessarily make it about where God wants them to be. They choose it for extraneous elements. You know, what is this going to be? We ministered to a family at one point in time, and when it came time to for them to find a church, when they did get to the area, they decided that the thing that they were going to use as the factor was where this lady could find a husband. It's like, really? That's the element, that's the driving factor in your life. And you know, if that was the factor in their life, they weren't going to be a good fit at Merit Assembly of God. Because we're not necessarily in the matchmaking business. Our primary objective is to make Merit Assembly of God a place where people can encounter the living God. And as they encounter the living God and come to know Him and watch Him work in their life, He's going to put all of the other things in place. I went to a church in Chicago. I went there because God wanted me to go there. I did not go there to find a wife. I ended up finding a wife there. I found a wonderful wife in the house of God. I'm telling you that the house of God is a great place where you come together because you are of like faith, not because you are of like habits or like weaknesses or like strongholds. You have a similar drive for God. One of the things that attracted me to my wife was her hunger and her thirst for the things of God, that she had a passion for the things of God, and she still does even after all of these years. So you sow where God want you are sown where God wants you to be. You sow in the where the soil and the seed have an appropriate match, or, and then you plow to sow. In verse number 24, it says, "Does the plowman keep plowing all day?" We have always, my wife and I have always wanted to go to a place of ministry where it was challenging. Our, that was what God had called us to do, to pick up things that other people didn't see any value in and restore godly value to it. But there came a time where we realized that it was not always about plowing. Some of the places we plowed and other people came along and they sowed and they reaped a great harvest. But at Merit Assembly of God, God instructed us that it was not always about plowing. There were times where you sowed the seed. And seed sowing has become a great driving force. It is the driving force at Merit Assembly of God since 1996. 1996, God spoke to my heart, and we set out on the course when all of the finances were pointing that it wasn't the time to do that. God was saying that it was time to sow, and we didn't necessarily stop plowing, but we stopped plowing continually so we could take time to sow seed so that we could have a harvest that was going to be meeting the need. This radio program, to a large extent, is a byproduct of something that took place a little over 20 years ago. We've been on, this is now our fifth year of broadcasting, and it is what is taking place today actually has its origins in something that started in 1996. Today, maybe you have been facing adversity. You have been plowing and plowing and plowing, and you've been working hard and all of that sort of stuff. I want to encourage you. Sometimes you plant the seed, you cover the soil up, and you say, "God, it's time for you to do your work. I've done my work because you've called us to. And now, God, we are going to wait patiently. We're going to keep our hearts pure. We are not going to be impatient. We are going to wait patiently as you have your way with the seeds that we have sown." I praise God that there's a harvest coming our way and your way. I encourage you, break up your fallow ground, level the field, structure for sowing, and then sow your seed. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."